serve a God that doesn't slumber or sleep, but who is always there when I call him. Well, today we're going to wind up our series on open doors. I'm still cracking up about that little dog that opened that sliding glass door. My goodness, I don't know how that dog figured that out, but wow, incredible. Hear me, folks. My sincere desire in this series has been that whatever doors God will open for you and I this year, that we will walk through those doors faithfully and wholeheartedly and experience God's best blessings on our lives. Well, today we're not going to talk about open doors, but closed doors. Closed doors. And again, we're going to look at that scripture from Revelation 3:7, originally written to the church at Philadelphia, literal church in Asia Minor there. And it says this: "These are the words of him who is holy and true." Who is that? Yes, Jesus Christ. "These are the words of him who is holy and true. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open." Ladies and gentlemen, God does not only open doors, but he shuts doors. And as we talk about God's ability to shut doors, there's an idea that I think we need to have in mind. It's foundational to our discussion. And that is that God has the ability to shut and to close doors, and that he knows best. Again, to review the song that we just sang from another version, contemporary English version: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which door." Well, I put that there. Actually, it says path. But for our study today, which door to take. We can trust God with our lives, ladies and gentlemen. You believe that? We can trust God with our lives. When we try to rely on our own understanding, not so good. But when we do with God, he will show us which way to go. Again, I'd like to acknowledge a source that has been very valuable in this series. It's John Ortberg's book, All the Places to Go, How Do You Know? If you ever get any of John Ortberg's books, you will be blessed. He is a favorite author of mine. I have many. Now, we usually don't like closed doors. Have you ever had a door slammed in your face? Oh, if you have, you know, that's a real pleasurable experience. When we come to a door, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about the door of our lives, it might be that God is up to something in that closed door. We just might find ourselves in the end saying, "Thank God for closed doors." Let's pray. Loving Father, speak through me today. The message that you've laid on my heart, Lord, may the Holy Spirit take it and do whatever he wants with it. In Jesus' name, I ask this, amen. So we're talking about closed doors today. And I'm hoping that we can all at one point in time, if not even today, say thank God for closed doors. Well, let's talk about what God might be up to in the closed doors of our lives. Have any of you had closed doors? I have, and I know you have. We we have all had closed doors. What is happening when we have closed doors? What is God doing? What might He be up to? I want to share three lessons that I have learned about God's closed doors. Number one, a door might be closed to us because we might be knocking at the wrong door. Okay? Sometimes doors remain closed because we want the wrong thing. We're knocking at the wrong door. A couple of biblical examples that come to mind. In Matthew 20, 20 and 21, two disciples of Jesus, James and John, went to their mother and said, "Would you go talk to Jesus for us and ask for a position upgrade?" And so their mom knelt down before Jesus with big puppy dog eyes, and she really cared for her boys, and said, "Jesus, please, when you set up your kingdom, could you put my sons on your right and on your left in the kingdom?" Well, Jesus pretty much tells James and John that position in His kingdom is not by getting your mommy to ask for the best place. It's not by self-promotion. So, James and John, that would be a no. Another time is recorded in Luke 9, 52 to 54. Jesus and His disciples are traveling, and they come to a Samaritan village. And I don't know if they were trying to buy some Taco Bell there or what, but the village was not very nice to them. And that's not surprising that they ignored them, given the ethnic relations between Samaria and Israel were very tense. There was race hatred between those two nations. So James and John are really angry that they have not been treated fairly in the Samaritan village. So they ask Jesus if they can nuke the village, bringing fire down from heaven and just scorching them. And Jesus said, "Absolutely not." At various places in the Bible, we can see closed doors in response to wrong requests. On four separate occasions, four different Bible characters all ask God sincerely to take their lives. Moses, Jeremiah, Elijah, and Jonah. And in every one of these occasions, God says no, 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 and no. Do you think later, when they weren't so depressed, that they were glad that they got a no from God? Thank God He sometimes says no to what we ask. Now, I am not a country music fan. True confession here. If you are, God bless you. I understand that there was a country song written by a certain artist. You may recognize him, Garth Brooks. And this country music song was number one on the charts in 1990. It was a song, Unanswered Prayers. Unanswered Prayers. And this song tells the tale about a guy who goes to a football game. And when he's at the football game, he sees an old flame that he was really hot on back in the day. In fact, he wanted her to be his wife, and even prayed to God to make this woman his wife. It didn't happen. And now, all these years later, he looks at this particular girl and sees her again and wonders, "What was I thinking?" The main line in this song is, Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Ooh. Now, here's a sobering thought for you and I. That we may be someone's unanswered prayer. Number two. Doors close sometimes because there is something better. Sometimes a door can close because there is something much better. Another door that's way better. And it's down the road and we just can't see it yet. Sometimes when we pray, God says no. Because He knows the future and we don't. And we cannot see the outcome that He sees for us. Just try to imagine if we had the supernatural power to make our prayers come true, whatever they were. Pretend again that you and I have the power to make whatever prayer that we ask come true. I think we'd abuse prayer greatly. I really do. It would be a disaster if we had the power to make every single prayer that we uttered come true. We'd pray for personal gain. If we got mad at somebody, we'd pray that they stubbed their toe or worse. We would abuse prayer and use it for personal power. Prayer is not some kind of incantation. It's not some kind of power button that we push. Prayer is first and foremost and primarily a talk with a person, a very wise, wise and loving person. And sometimes God says no, and it's a good thing that He does, because sometimes God has a door that's way better than we want in our wisdom to go through. A biblical example would be that of Moses. You know the story. Moses was found in a little basket and he was adopted into a royal family and he was on the track to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. However, this was not God's plan for Moses. And so God presented Moses with a door that was shut tightly. God closed the door to becoming Pharaoh, and the next thing that Moses experienced was tending sheep. From prince to common sheep herder. And it must have dawned on Moses as he's tending those smelly sheep, thinking about the palace that he lived in. Does God really know what He's doing with my life? A little bit later on, we're told that Moses found himself in front of a burning bush. It was weird because it didn't burn up. It was just on fire. And it didn't burn up. And from this burning bush, a voice asked Moses to take off his shoes because the presence of God is there and it's holy ground. And then, from the bush, the voice of God invites Moses to do something that he would have never thought he would do. He was to be the leader of more than 1 million Israelites, and he was going to take them out of bondage, the land of Egypt, to the promised land. And in the comment that God made, Exodus 3:12 says that God promises Moses, I will be with you. I will be with you. This open door that is so scary in front of you is way better than those doors that you thought were so good that closed by my doing. I want you to walk through this open door now because this is what I have been grooming you for, to be the leader of Israel. Doors sometimes close to us Because God has something better, and we just can't see it at the moment. Thirdly, doors close sometimes because we need to grow. The Apostle Paul came to God and had this really sincere request. He had a problem. He had something he called the thorn in the flesh. And we don't know what it is, but it must have really bothered him, because he asked three times, sincerely, passionately, for God to remove the thorn in his flesh. God did not answer his prayer. And instead, the thorn in the flesh that remained with Paul actually brought on a much greater gift. Paul came to understand that grace would come not in the absence of the thorn in the flesh, but together with the thorn in the flesh. And sometimes God can choose a door because he wants to use that closed door to help us grow. To help us grow. And that's not all, because God himself knows about closed doors. The very all-powerful God who can open and shut doors knows what it's like to be in front of a shut door. You see, God has given us the key to the door of our heart. And he, through his Son Jesus, stands at our heart's door knocking. He will not force his way in. He knocks and waits with the hope that we will open our heart's door to him. There's a lot of people who don't. So God knows the pain and anguish. Jesus knows the pain and the anguish of a closed door. And there's more. At the heart of the gospel is a closed door. At the very heart of the gospel is a closed door. It is in the form of an unanswered prayer. It was prayed by, it was the most desperate prayer that has ever been prayed, from the purest heart of anyone who has ever lived, from the most unjust suffering that anyone has ever encountered. Jesus said, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. I don't want to go to the cross. Please, let me get out of this. I don't want to be crucified, Father, please. I've done nothing wrong." All that this prayer got was silence. The request was denied. The cup of suffering was not taken away from Jesus. The door remained tightly and steadfastly closed in front of Jesus. However, from this unwanted and unmerited cup of suffering came the hope of the world. And the answer to each and every human anguish. Have you ever thought what it would have been like if Jesus would have got a yes to his request from his heavenly Father? What if God would have honored that request by Jesus? And instead of a closed door, Jesus would have had an open door to escape the cross. Well, there would have obviously been no cross. There would have been no tomb. There would have been no resurrection. There would have been no forgiveness of sins. There would be no outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There would be no birth of the church. There would be no second coming. There would be no heaven. There would be no hope. God's closed door of no to Jesus meant an open door of yes to all of us. On the night before Jesus would be put to death, he was trying to explain something to his disciples about closed doors. From John 16, he said this. Jesus went on to say, "In a little while, you will see me no more." And then after a little while, you will see me. At this, some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me'?" They kept asking, "What does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying." The disciples impatiently wanted all the doors open and all their questions answered right then and there. To them to be told, "Not now, but in a little while," it must have seemed like it would be forever. But to God, in the light of eternity, it was just a little while. And so Jesus went on to assure his disciples a wonderful promise that is meant for us today too. His promise is that the closed door that they would find themselves in front of one day would be opened, and the wait would be well worth it. Verse 20, good news. "I am telling you the truth. You will cry and weep. You will be sad, but your sadness will turn into gladness." His message? Hang in there. Hang in there. For on that day, in a little while, your grief is going to turn to joy. Again, that promise is made to you and to me. In a little while. In a little while. Right now, things do not look good. There are terrible things in the world around us. Murder, abuse, hunger, war, hatred, injustices, cancer, etc., etc., etc. But in a little while, our grief will be turned into joy. In a little while. It may seem like a long time, but someday we will look at this time from another perspective entirely and will agree from God's perspective, it was a little while. Joy, God is going to win in the end. Someday, somehow, in a way that none of us can completely understand right now, we will be grateful for the closed doors in our lives. It will be on that day. Not today, but on that day in a little while. And what an incredibly wonderful day that will be. So, ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. In a little while, love for you to join me in affirming our belief and trust in God that there is going to come a time in a little while that we will be going home. Let us sing a song that will cheer us by the way. In a little while we're going home. For the night will end in the everlasting day. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. Yes, Lord. In a little while we're going. We can hardly wait for that, Lord. This old world just seems so oppressive, and there's just so much pain and ugliness and darkness everywhere that we look. Help us to be able to believe your promise. In a little while, we're going home. Lord, whatever closed doors that we face, help us to trust you, that it may be for our good, and even though we can't see why certain things happen in the way that they do, that along with Job, that we will say, though he slay me, I will still have faith, and I will be faithful to him. Lord, I pray for the people of our congregation that may be going through some kind of tough situation. Maybe it's an illness of a loved one, maybe it's their own illness. Maybe there's some great disappointment that people are carrying as big burdens. Lord, we know whatever this world will dish out, that in a little while we are going home. Lord, thank you for the open doors in our lives, and thank you for the closed doors. We trust and obey and love you. In Jesus' name I ask this, and everyone say, amen.